You know, I want to read verse 1 over there from the chapter that Rick was reading in Samuel. And 2, just because there's a key point here that I think will hopefully help you. Verse 1 of 1 Samuel 15. Samuel also said unto Saul, "The Lord sent me to anoint thee to be king over his people, over Israel. Now therefore hearken thou unto the voice of the words of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, I remember that which Amalek did to Israel, how he did wait for him in the way when he came up from Egypt. Now go and smite Amalek and utterly destroy all that they have and spare them not, but slay both man and woman, infant and suckling, ox and sheep, camel and ass." Now, the fundamental point I wanted to hit on there is God did not speak to Samuel. Another man did. I mean, God did not speak to Saul. Another man did. Samuel. See, and therein lies almost the entire problem for everyone. See, people convince themselves that they're serving God. Frankly, I believe Saul had convinced himself he had done the commandment of the Lord. It wasn't until Samuel came to him after God had said to Samuel that it repented him because Saul didn't keep his commandment. Now, wait a second here. Who are you going to believe if you're Samuel? Are you going to believe God? Or are you going to believe Saul? Yeah. Now, Samuel, when he came to Saul, already knew beyond a shadow of a doubt, and there was nothing that Saul could say to change the truth. He had not obeyed the commandment of the Lord. Now, see what happens. Rick was talking about over in John chapter 3, and it's like, you know, everybody knows John 3:16, and let's just go over there for a moment. We'll go over to John 3:16, since, you know, you watch TV and everything, and at every basketball game, football game, whatever, there's somebody with a sign held up, John 3:16, as though that answers every question. And the fact of the matter is, in one sense, it does, in the sense that it highlights what Jesus did for us. So in that sense, it's true. But sadly, it seems like almost no one in the Christian church goes and reads the next part. So let's begin with 16. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." I just want to highlight that for a moment. Everybody who's here knows and is reading the King James Bible. For those who may listen to this from somewhere else and listen to this message, my guess is your Bible reads differently if you're not reading the King James. What you're reading is a false Christ. Jesus is the Word of God. He is not a schizophrenic, and he says what he means and means what he says. And when he said that you should not perish, he was saying what he meant. But he said that does not mean that you will not perish. And see, therein lies the problem. Many, 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 the majority of those who call upon the name of the Lord, say they are Christians, will perish. They will perish. Go read Matthew chapter 7. And we may even head over there, but I'm trying to be short because I guess payback is, you know what they say. And so Rick took up most of the time this morning. Not something I've never done myself, so what can I say? But let's continue on in verse 17. "For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved." See, the fact of the matter is the world is born in condemnation. See, everybody wants to think, let's just be brothers, let's just be this, and they don't realize that we cannot be brothers, we cannot love one another, we cannot enjoy peace with one another, but we first make peace with God. And that comes from receiving the sacrifice that God sent for us, Jesus. And he goes on, he that believeth on him is not condemned. And that believeth on is going to be a critical word here, because one that believeth on keeps his commandments. They hear what he says, they do not change it, and they do what he says. How many people do that? Not many. That's why the majority who say that Jesus is the Christ will perish, is because they don't believe on him. They don't hear what he says and do what he says. Rather, they change it in some way, manner, shape, or form. And there aren't many ministers out there who will speak to them the truth so that they can know this before it's too late. Frankly, Saul was rejected from being king. It didn't mean that Saul had to die and go to hell. Saul could have humbled himself. He could have humbled himself. Instead of trying to kill David, he could have submitted himself unto David and recognized that David was indeed God's man. But no, he wouldn't do that. He would not humble himself to do that. And so he did die and go to hell. So let's continue on. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light has come into the world, and men loved darkness. Watch that. Men loved, that means preferred, darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. Now, we were just talking, Rick was talking about people hiding. And it happens in the ministry all the time. All the time. I mean, all the time. Many of you don't know this because you're not having to be the one who has to minister to people who are hiding. You're not the one who has to give account to God, and so you may not see it. But I've seen it for decades. It is one of the greatest sadnesses of being a minister is to watch those who you know the Lord has good things for, and he would have you share things with them that are for their good, and watch them do everything in their power to avoid receiving that which God has for them through you. And then when you do begin to say something to them, come up with every excuse imaginable to justify themselves. There are few that I have met in the Lord over the course of my 25 years who actually want to come to the light, that their deeds may be made manifest one way or the other. Very few. And so your conversation with such people is hard. It's hard, and it's infrequent, truth be told, because they don't want to actually know the truth, because they prefer the lie they believe and to dwell in darkness. Now look, folks, I'm going to be pulling something together here in the not too distant future about discipleship. I've really been struggling and working and writing it out, frankly, because I realize how important and critical it is. I mean, absolutely critical it is to the end of destruction not being yours. Because discipleship is your safety. It is your safety. Samuel speaking to Saul was a safety to Saul if he could receive it. But Saul fought against it. Every single one of us have to deal with the same issue in getting rid of pride. It's not something that's unique to you. It's something every human being on the face of this earth that's ever walked since the fall of Adam, with the exception of Jesus Christ, has had to deal with. Because it comes with being cursed. It's nothing to be ashamed of in the sense as though it's somehow peculiar to you. We all have to deal with it. Every single one of us. If you want to deal with it, though, you will come to the light. And you come to the light through the process of discipleship is the manner in which it's most manifest here on earth. Don't hear me wrong, it really begins in your closet between yourself and the Lord Jesus Christ. It gets manifest through your discipleship relationship with a minister of God. Because it comes in the form of your willingness to submit things up and make them open and public that they can be judged. See, one of the things is, I hear people sometimes say, you know, out here at the ranch, we live in like a glass house. The truth is, if you're going to be a minister of the Lord, you are to be a glass house. There is to be nothing hidden in your life because you are to be an example of the believers unto people. You are to actually be an example. How can you be an example if your life is hid? You can't. You can only be an example to believers when nothing is off limits nor hid. But you are out there in the light that your works may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. That's what the next verse says. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light. Watch that. And that basically means you prefer not. You want to keep private. You want people to not know. You want all this other kind of stuff. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deed should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. Do you want your deeds to be wrought in God? Or do you want to be a worker of iniquity? One who operates in pride and hides and tries to defend and protect themselves. It's that clear as the choice. There's no middle ground here, folks. It's one way or the other. If you want to walk in the Lord, then you need to come to the light. You need to be willing to stand out there and be exposed. And let the issues you've got, if they're there, be dealt with so that you can become that example that God wants you to be unto the believers. As you're willing to do that, as you'll humble yourself to do that, not only will the Lord lift you up and bless you, but you'll be a part of his ministering unto others, and you will see wherever you are, the ministry the Lord has given you, grow. I mean, I got to tell you, one of the most amazing things to me, because my nature and my background and my life was one of, you know, being on some grand stage, if you want to look at my life before I became a Christian. It was always being the one on the podium. It was always being the one who was exalted. It was always being the one out there. It was always going to be the one who'd be like president or this or that or the other thing. And I remember, you know, being in Northfield Falls, Vermont, where they're, I don't know if it's still true, depending on how successful the hunters have been, more deer than people. Out at Grace Ranch, definitely more wild things than people. and being in scenarios that were anything but what my background and experience leading up to the Lord was about. And I was amazed in Northfield Falls how the Lord paraded people from all over the world through my front doorstep and put me in contact with people from all over the world. You don't have to run around. If you will decide to serve the Lord and come to the light, He will include you in what He's doing in manners that I don't care where you are and how isolated you may think you are. He will get people to you because there are people out there needing to be ministered to. So let us go forward in that. Let's get shed of standing in the shadows and come in to the light. Amen.